Good evening, everybody. Let's all gather together. Find your space. Just want to welcome you all here warmly. Lovely to see you all. We are privileged to have Glorifier worship leading tonight. So I just want to encourage you to just abandon yourself to God. These guys carry an anointing for abandonment. So don't hold back. Just let's worship the Lord with everything we've got. Father, we just want to thank you that you're doing something in our generation that cannot be blamed on man, that you're going to rearrange the face of the earth and you're going to display your glory, that you're going to rise upon your church and that you're going to move through us in a profound and powerful way. We dedicate ourselves to you and you alone tonight, mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Almighty God, we thank you that the heavens have been rent wide, that there's no division between heaven and earth, that you're teaching us to worship with the abandonment that's in the heavens, that you are going to completely change the definition of Christianity within one generation, that you're going to use us to redefine what heaven looks like and release it on the earth. We praise you, King Jesus. May your name be glorified and lifted high in this community like never before. That every man, woman, child know that there's a God in heaven who loves them passionately. We praise you, King Jesus. Praise your mighty name. Woo! Yeah! Woo! Jesus! Love you! Woo! We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you! Mwah! That was for God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome everybody. That was beautiful. And I'm just going to introduce our speaker for tonight. Many of you know Brent Douglas. He comes from Auckland, Christian Center. And we're privileged to have him here tonight because he actually pastors a very vibrant church in Auckland. So he's left behind his church to be with us. So I really want you to open your heart and get as much as possible out of Brent because he's a spiritual father in this nation. He's deposited the anointing in many churches throughout this nation. And he hasn't just built his own church. He's actually really had a heart for the church in this nation. So it's actually a huge privilege to have him here with us. And so it's our honor, Brent. Just going to hand straight over to you.
Well, good evening. I will try that again. Well, good evening. Oh, we are here. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking, Leon, that you're getting better with age. I mean, the wine is maturing and getting more tasty. Man, that last song, I thought that was phenomenal. Man, especially when you did that right, you started that song and then you had that sort of 1 second break and you smacked in with the guitar. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I thought that was world class. I just wish we had a whole bank of speakers and some subwoofers and the drums and then it could go boom. But I thought that was just absolutely, look, it is such a delight to be here. And you know, it was so much joy just to walk in and to meet people who, and they'd say, you know, I knew you back when you were preaching in Christchurch and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, man, I don't even remember back that far. And it was just a lot. And, of course, I met the best chef in New Zealand, where Avis. Is it you? Who was it? It was your mum. No? No, her. There. You. You, I'm told you're the best cook in the country. Man, wow. Yeah. If I wasn't trying to lose weight, I'd invite myself for a meal. But it is absolutely wonderful to be here. And thank you, Nathan, for having me here. Pastor Nathan, I'm just delighted to be here. I always enjoy coming around New Zealand. I travel into all sorts of places around the world. But actually, you know, people ask me, what's the best country that you've been to? And I say without hesitation, New Zealand. You know, my favourite man on TV, TV3, what's his name, the guy in the morning? Paul Henry. I mean, you know, I love Paul Henry. And of course, he always says, Good Morning Paradise. You talks about New Zealand being Britain. Now, some of you might really hate Paul Henry. Well, just forgive me that I happen to enjoy him. But, it doesn't really matter. You know, heaven's not going to crack down because I said that. I just agree with them that New Zealand's heaven on earth. And there is no question. Of course, you know, we came down. We went down to Queenstown and drove over here. My wife's not with me tonight. She's in the warmth of a motel unit. I apologize for that. But, you know, I walked. I went for a walk praying, came back. And, it was so hot in the motel unit, I had to sit outside just to survive. And then I heard that someone was talking to me here, and they said, it was you. You are the one that likes the heat and you like the cold. I thought, you are the most unusual couple on the face of this earth with that. But yeah, absolutely amazing. And for those of you who don't know me, I've been pastoring my church called Encounter Christian Center for around about 33, 34 years. But in 1993, we had a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that eventually became known as the Toronto Blessing. We didn't know it was called that at the time. We just had a move of God. And people were getting blasted with the power of God. So it was so funny, people talking to me, you prayed for me and the power of God hit, you know, just when I walked in, you know, people talking about those sorts of things. And of course, to have Julie here tonight. And of course, we had all of those meetings that were just so powerful there in Timaru. And I had a few powerful meetings in Dunedin as well. I'm going to tell you about one of the incidences a bit later on that happened in Dunedin. And, it's been my privilege to see, I think, some of the greatest moves of the Holy Spirit in our nation. And actually, what's going to happen tonight is we've basically got three parts. I'm going to tell you a story. Then I'm going to probably have a bit of a break, maybe pray for a few people, have a bit of a break, and then I'm going to preach. So just sort of knuckle down. I don't believe in short meetings because not a lot happens in short meetings. Someone was mentioning to me Jill Austen. And if you remember Jill Austen, she always had two parts to her meetings. Her meetings would start about 7:30. And, you know, and it would be okay. I mean, she would preach. I mean, she was boring as anything, but she would preach. I love Jill. I did ask her, sort of, don't preach so long, Jill, please. But yeah, she was great. I mean, the most anointed woman of God on the face of this earth when she was alive, right? And then she'd have a matinee break about 10:30 at night, you know. And she would ask me questions like, well, Brent, what do you think we should do now? And so I'd tell her what I thought, and she'd say, oh, I don't think that's right. I think we should do this. And I said, well, then do that. You know, do whatever you like. And it was always funny. I loved Jill. I got on really well with her, those of you who knew her. But, of course, it was from 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock where all the religious people left. Right, they went home. They'd had enough of Jill, and they'd had enough of people manifesting demons and squirming through the chairs and laughing hysterically and getting, you know, they didn't like that. They all went home. So, of course, that meant there was no religious control manipulators sitting in the meetings, you know. And because it took me a few years to work out why from 11 o'clock to 12 was when the trances happened and the angels would come and the mighty manifestations of the Holy Spirit would occur. And then I realized the people that are left are the people who really want a move of God, right? And they really are open to what God can do. And, it was absolutely remarkable, the things that we saw. So those were exciting days. And some people say this, well, you know, praise the Lord, we've moved on from there. And that's always a great mystery to me. We've moved on from a move of God. I don't quite get the mentality how you can move on from that. I think we go from glory to glory, right? I think it gets better and better. I don't think we move on. It's just that over the years, we've learned a few things. We've learned how to present the power of God in a way that's a little bit more acceptable, not to offend so many people, and try to avoid trouble. I mean, I could spend half an hour talking about police coming to church meetings in New Zealand, arresting pastors, arresting congregational members. I mean, I have lots of stories like that, but they're not for tonight. But I do want to tell you a story, and some of you will know of this story, but I can tell it because I know it firsthand, because the Lord used me to get it underway. But in about 2014, I brought a band to New Zealand. It was a an African-American band called Global Force with a guy called Matthew Bismarck. And they were just, you know, because I travel to Houston regularly, and this band, I just got brilliant music. And so I said, come to New Zealand. You're going to have to pay your own way, but we'll give you a great time and you'll see the best of New Zealand. So 2014, we brought them to New Zealand. They did our youth conference in Queen's Birthday weekend 2014. And then we took them to Kawarau. I wanted them to experience Kawarau Community Church, Pastor Matt Bennett. And we gave them the full Maori welcome and hangi and all of that experience. And, you know, I mean, they'd just not experienced anything like this, of course. And the love, you know, that was there was just overwhelming. And so we had a public meeting in the public hall, the big school hall there. And it was probably the largest meeting that had happened in Kawarau. By the way, Kawarau, who knows Kawarau? Oh, I'm sorry. Kawarau sits in the middle of nowhere in the North Island. It's about an hour out of Rotorua. It's got the big sawmill. It's got the highest unemployment rate probably in New Zealand. It's got probably the most powerful gang stuff going on in New Zealand. Drugs are epidemic. Rape and incest is epidemic in Kawarau. So addiction and violence and all that stuff, absolutely epidemic. And most people don't know just how bad. But to give you an example, it would be too dangerous for any of the ladies to walk in the streets alone in Kawarau, because the mongrel mob are looking for you to rape you, especially your children, your girls. And it's too dangerous for me to walk in Kawarau without guards, because if they saw me, they would get me and beat me up. It's a very dangerous town. This is in New Zealand, believe it or not. And so we're in Kawarau, and it's, I think it was Tuesday night, and they were doing their music. And the place was packed with young people, packed with adults. There was probably 400 people there, one of the largest Christian meetings in the history of Kawarau. And then we had three testimonies. And the first two testimonies went okay. The third testimony was a girl, Maggie, Mexican girl, lives in Houston, lovely girl, gave a testimony, and you could feel heaven fell. And I went over to Pastor Matt Bennett, a Maori pastor, a very close friend of mine, and I said to Matt, I said, Matt, have an altar call for salvation right now. And so he did an altar call for salvation. And immediately, at least 100 young people rushed up to the altar call. I think that ultimately there were a lot more that came up. But they, and virtually every one of those people that came up on the altar call, were first-time commitments to Jesus Christ. And so the next day after this happened, and I mean, it was a wow moment. I mean, you're looking at this, 100, 150, whatever, young people and a few adults up the front giving their lives to Jesus, recommitting their lives to Jesus, and you're looking at this in Kawarau. And I'm watching this thinking, man, there's something going on here. The next day, and I don't remember whether it was 25 or 50, it doesn't matter, but at lunchtime, this group of young people were now on the football field. They were in a circle, and they were praying for the school. They were praying for the teachers. They were praying for the school to have a move of God. At the end of the day, there were young people all over the streets of Kawarau, and they were in small groups, and they were praying for God to bring revival to their town. And Pastor Mattai and I realize God's doing something here. And for reasons that I haven't got time to go into. For we were discussing, should we continue with the meetings? We were moving on in the tour, taking the band with us. And we decided we needed to go on with the meetings and do some extended meetings and see, was this a move of God? My church had run out of money. Mattai's church had run out of money because of bringing the band in. And you got to understand something. It costs big money to have a revival. You think it happens for nothing? You don't know. You know, just the amount of toilet paper for a start. We needed enough money to fly Maggie from the South Island. We wanted her to come up. I rang up and I was praying and I just thought, Lord, where can I get $2,000 from another church? And I actually rang up Pastor Martin Stead at Harbourside, and I said, and I'm sitting in Mattai's home, and I said, Pastor, I knew Martin pretty well. I said, look, here's the deal. Something has just happened in Kawarau. And I told him what had happened. I said, I think we have a move of God happening here, but we've got no money, and I've got to get Maggie up from the South Island. Look, we need $2,000. Would you give us $2,000? He said, immediately, give me the bank account, I'll send it to you. I mean, I'm crying. I handed to Pastor Mattai. He said, because what pastor, Nathan, would I ring up and say, I want $2,000, would give it to me? Pastors don't do that. Hey, so we got $2,000. Well, what actually unfolded was probably, in fact, not probably, there is no question, it is the only genuine revival that I have ever experienced in the world. And I've been to many countries. Because what happened was this, we started up the meetings. I can't remember, I think there were five nights a week. It was a revival amongst Maori young people. And the conditions were this, that every night we had to have people giving their lives to Christ who had never given their lives to Jesus Christ before. Once that stops, we stop the meetings. The second thing is, the money has to come. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of what the Lord did. This is true. This is not secondhand knowledge, right? I think within 10 weeks of value of services, goods, and airfares, and I'll tell you about the airfares in a moment, something like $55,000 poured into that revival. Some people heard of the revival and they said, in Taiwan, there is a worship symposium and we would like your Maori young people to come. These are kids who had never been out the border of Whakatane Kawarau, let alone overseas. Those airfares were provided. That team went over. They performed in front of 10,000 people from all around the world and were the hit of the conference. But we needed Bibles because with revival, you've got to have Bibles. And of course, one of the things that you wouldn't know is to get bulk Bibles in New Zealand is virtually impossible. Bill Sobrisky was looking for 1,000 Bibles, couldn't get them. And God let us hear of 2,000 Bibles that were sitting in a garage somewhere in Auckland. They heard about what had just happened in Kawarau. They rang up Pastor Mara and said, we hear that you need Bibles. We have 2,000 Bibles. You can have them for free. So we said, okay, let's send them down here, but we will give to Bill Sobrisky 1,000 Bibles because we had heard that he was looking for Bibles, which is exactly what they did. Thousands of dollars came in for other purposes as this happened. But here's the deal. See? And this is without a word of a lie. 70% of the high school kids gave their lives to Jesus Christ. The crime rate in Kawarau virtually eliminated to the point where the police came and spoke to Pastor Mattai and said, you have to keep the meetings going. It is transforming our community. The social services person that was dealing with the people in the families with the violence and incest, all that sort of stuff, the main person came to Mattai after a number of weeks and said, Mattai, you're going to have to pay my salary. And Mattai said, what do you mean I'm going to have to pay your salary? He said, I have no work to do in Kawarau anymore. The problems in the families have stopped. One night, Pastor Mattai was in the hot pools in Kawarau. And one of the main gang leaders of the mongrel mob were in the hot pools. And he turned to Mattai. And Mattai was wondering whether he was going to get beaten up. And the guy turned to Mattai and said, you're Pastor Mattai, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. He said, you, those meetings, you got to keep those meetings going. It's transforming our young people. The toughest kid in Kawarau, underage kid, tough, always in the police station, always in trouble, walked to the principal's office one day, knocked on the principal's door and said, Miss, I have a gift that I want to give you. The principal is thinking that he's going to offer her marijuana. And this kid said to her, Miss, this is what I want to give you. I want to give you a chance to give your life to Jesus Christ. It will change your life. Those kids, many, many mornings, would walk into the staff meeting of the high school. And they would interrupt the staff meeting and say, we would like to pray for you and pray for our school before you do anything else. And that's exactly what they did. The principal, who was not a Christian, will tell you to this day that what happened in those meetings transformed the atmosphere, the behavior, and even the way the kids learnt in the school. When people drove into Kawarau at the height of the revival 2014, they would drive in, and the moment they crossed the boundary into Kawarau, they would feel the presence of God vibrating in the atmosphere. They could feel the power of God as they drove in. It was a revival amongst Maori young people. The building was, and it still is, about a quarter of the size of this building, if not even smaller. So we had the rule that people were not allowed, no adults were allowed to sit up the front. Only young people were allowed to sit up the front. And that included me, except for Pastor Mattai, he would sit up the front. And night after night, the front of this building would be packed with young people. It was absolutely remarkable. But here's even the more remarkable thing about this revival, because this was community transformation, you understand. The thing that you have prayed for your whole life. I have been there in New Zealand. I've witnessed it. I've been a part of it. I've seen the effect of true community transformation. I have pleaded with pastors, stop saying you're going to have revival meetings, because revival is about community transformation. It's not about people falling over and laughing and getting drunk and all of that sort of stuff, all of which I love. But the thing that I want is community transformation. But here's the thing. We use the same band every night. There was only one problem. They were the young people. They only had three songs. The worship leader could hardly sing in tune. The backing singers could hardly sing in tune. And the musicians were mediocre, to say the least. And every night, they sang the same songs. Right? Hey? These young people. Saying, now, you wouldn't want to have the Leons of this world, because those kids were the one that were carrying the anointing, right? So they didn't need the kids. So we made sure you didn't hear about the revival, because if we allowed New Zealand to know about what was happening in Kawarau, all the flakes would come. You know what flakes are, don't you? They're the people that come in and ruin meetings because of their flesh and carnality and demons. But, you know, we won't talk about that. So, and I certainly didn't let anybody know I had anything to do with it, because I didn't want to, because one of the things I've tried to do all my life is keep out of the media in New Zealand because of the troubles that happened. So we kept it quiet, and those who needed to know got to know. People like David Garrett, who from Scripture and Song years, got to know about it and came down. Certain money people got to know about it, came down and provided thousands of dollars. Hey? Certain other people who could help with the revival, God made sure that they heard about it. Now, it stopped, and I'm not here to tell you why it stopped. I know why it stopped, but that's a whole other story, not appropriate for tonight. But those meetings went for 150 nights, right? In that time, even Parliament spoke about the change that has happened in Kaburau. But they put it down to other initiatives that they were doing, except it was at the height of the revival. You understand? I witnessed a community transformation before my eyes. 33 years of pastoring a church, 30 odd years of moving in the Spirit and going into communities like this and so on. Now, of course, the question is, how big was the church? Well, probably 50 adults and maybe 30 or 40 young people. That's how big the church was, and carried what I would consider the most significant move of God our nation has ever seen, where a community actually got transformed. Now, of course, some of the adults didn't like it, because what happens is this, that, you know, you can all sit here and you can say, oh, I'd love to have a revival like that. But actually, some of you wouldn't like it because revival's messy. So let me tell you how messy it can get, and then I'll get on to the rest of the meeting. But I got a story that I'd like to tell you, because I think you'd like to hear this story. One night, they were giving testimony of what the Lord had done. You've got to understand that this really bad kid, I'll tell you two stories. This really bad kid I told you about, right? Well, I'll tell you how that all started, see? He came up to Pastor Mattai after a few nights of the revival starting, and he said, Pastor Mattai, can God speak to my dad? And Mattai said to him, well, what do you mean? Where's your dad? Well, my dad's dead. Can God speak to him? And he said, well, what's happened? And this is the story. He said, when I was young, 6 or 7, my father left my mum and went over to Whakatane, I think it was Whakatane, and shacked up with this woman. We were so angry and so hurt. But he said, a few years ago, Dad decided to come back to mum. And we were so happy. And so we were looking forward to Dad coming back, except when he came, started to drive back, and he is now coming back to mum, he received a phone call. And the woman that he had been living with had just committed suicide because he had left her. He turned his car around, he went back to where the body was, and he committed suicide with the girlfriend. Can Dad speak? Can God speak to my mum? Pastor Mattai and this boy wept for 20 minutes, but that kid wept himself into life change. So that when he walked out of the meeting and the sergeant from the police station was there one night, he said, g'day, sir. And the cop looked around and thought, who's that? He'd never been spoken to by that kid before. So let me tell you my final story. I'm having testimonies one night. Girl got up. She said, three or four nights ago I tried to commit suicide. I put a rope around my neck and I tied it up in the wardrobe, and you know, and I went to hang myself, but the wardrobe broke. So, and she's just talking just like I'm talking right now. And she said, so I fixed up the wardrobe. And so I tried again the next night, and the wardrobe broke. So I thought, well, this is no good. I've got to commit suicide. So how am I going to do it? So I know what I'll do. I'll slash my wrists. Now, any of you know anything about suicide? There's a particular way if you're going to commit suicide by slashing your wrists. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but there is a way to do it. I haven't tried to do it. I just know how to do it. And so this this girl went the next night to slash her wrists, but she did it the wrong way and she didn't die. The next day at school, someone speaks to her about the revival meetings. So she said, so I came to the revival meetings, and she said, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. She said, I don't want to commit suicide anymore. Now, that was pretty powerful. Eh? Pastor Maddie stood up and he said, if you've ever thought about committing suicide, or if you're in the process of working out how to do it, or if you've actually tried to commit suicide, I want you to stay here and I want the rest of you to go home. Because you've got to understand, they had to be transported home. The meetings only went from 6 o'clock till 8. 8 o'clock vans took them home because don't forget the mongrel mob are looking for the girls to rape them. So they had to all be transported home. So he said, right, I want you to get into three groups. I want those over here who've thought about committing suicide, those who are actually right in the process of working out how to do it, and those who've tried to do it. He ministered to those kids till 11 o'clock. I don't know if there's been many suicides in Kawerau since that night. Community transformation. Now, why am I telling you that story at the start of three meetings tonight and tomorrow morning? I know that many of you will be here in your own churches, and I think tomorrow night we're going to be here again. I'm sure many of you will be here. Because I want to communicate something to you. See, God can do it. Because I've witnessed it. I've been there. I've watched in the toughest, most difficult community in New Zealand a transformation take place. I've seen those kids. I know the kids. I know the stories to be true. If God can do it in Kawerau, He can do it in other places in New Zealand. It just needs a few people just believing and see what the Lord will do. I love it when people come up to me and they say to me, well, tell us the key. Because you know how our minds work. If we get the key to that revival, then all I have to do is apply the key and the door will open up and we'll have a revival, which is the stupidest thing on the face of this earth. Right? Because there was no key. Ah! Sorry! There was no key. You can read all the books you like about revival. You can read about how they prayed and they did this and they did that. The only thing I can say is there were a group of people that sometime about 15 years ago, or whenever it was, 12, 15 years ago, I was invited to their leadership group. It was one of the scariest moments in my life because I walked in to this group of teenagers who had teeth whacked out, tattoos all over them, Maori young people, some of them so ugly they would just scare the life out of any of you nice looking people as well as me, overweight but ready for a fight with anybody. They would take on anybody. And I thought, Jesus, what can I do with this group of young people? Those young people, some of them arrived at my youth conference a few days ago. Buck. Some of the other guys. Huge. Tough. Through life. But on fire for Jesus. Pastor Matt, I just worked faithfully year after year with the toughest kids imaginable. And God just one day looked down and just blinked on them and said, I think I'll give them a revival. I don't know the key. And if anyone tries to tell you what the key is, you can smack them in the face in Jesus' name and love them and tell them they're wrong from the one who was there. They were wrong. The only key I can think of is that they just loved God and God chose to move. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? And some of you have prayed faithfully for years and years for God to move in your community. And if I do nothing else, the thing that I want to do is say to you, Just keep praying. You don't know when God just chooses to go, and that's all he has to do. And through the testimony of a woman who just told her about what God had done, and she only had 2 minutes, but in that 2 minutes, heaven shifted and changed a community. Isn't that amazing? And I was there. Oh, Father, we are just so, so desperate for you to do it, for you to do it again. Lord, we are so hungry. What you did in Kawerau, you gave as a prophetic insight to New Zealand and as a prophetic insight to Mosgiel and Dunedin. That even sitting down here at a moment's notice, you could just breathe and say, "Ah, this is their moment," and you can pour out your spirit upon them. Lord, I remember when we were standing in Bill Sobrisky's property up north, and he told about what happened when summer harvest first happened, how the Spirit of God moved and blew across those young people, and they scattered as far as they could be seen as they manifested their demons. But the move of God happened, and he said to us, "Do it again. Lord, may you do it again." And Lord, you did it again when we came in on that property. And I say again, do it again. Bring revival to our nation. Jesus, come in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. I want everybody to stand for a moment, would you? Please. Do you know, any of you who know me will know that I just sort of want to pray for people, move in the Spirit. I thought what we might do before I preach is just see what the Lord will do. Can someone help me, please? Only in Mosgiel. Just move it out of the road. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to touch people, see? And it's up to him how he touches people. Some people, they'll fall over. Some people will shake. Some people will just stand there and just feel love and not manifest physically anything. But it's still God moving. Some people will feel deep peace, will feel emotion, feel all sorts of stuff. I've said to people all over the world, I've said, look, you want the Lord to touch you? Relax and surrender. Hey? Don't be all religious and say, well, if God's going to move, he's got to go this way or that way. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just got to do with just let him do what he wants to do. Just relax and surrender. You just never know what the Lord wants to do. But there's one thing I do understand. He builds from glory to glory. What happens here tonight is just a foretaste of what's going to happen by the time we get to tomorrow night. Oh, stuff will happen tomorrow night. But I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to touch us. And I want you to surrender and let him come. Just let him come in. And I give you permission just to do whatever happens. And if anybody's don't understand it, don't worry. I don't understand much of it myself. So I gave up about 20 years ago trying to work it all out, you know. Just open up your heart right now. Maybe even if you're comfortable with doing it, just lift your hands to the Lord. And the reason I say that is because when you lift your hands to the Lord, it's like you take the guards away and you, it's like an invite. It's like, here I am, Lord. Touch me. Oh, blow the wind of your Holy Spirit right across this place right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I release the power of God into this place in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here he comes, right now, touching many of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Fill this place. And I pray that especially, Lord, people that are here tonight, that maybe they've never experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, even tonight, you might just touch them and be so gracious to us. Touch this place right now, Holy Spirit. Now, you know, let me just, I want you to keep your eyes closed and just keep open to the Holy Spirit. But I want to say a couple of things. The Holy Spirit moves like waves across a congregation. That's what he's doing right now. And sometimes you'll get taken by one wave, and sometimes he'll miss you. It might be three or four waves. I was talking about Jill Austin. I went to Jill Austin's meetings once in Hastings, and it was the third night, I think it was, at 11:30 at night when I got touched. I don't understand it all, but I just say, Holy Ghost, come and just receive. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's a person here tonight that in a meeting like this, you were really badly handled and you've become very, very cautious. And I want to say to that person tonight, you're safe. Why are you safe? Well, because I'm here and I think I know what I'm doing. I think, Lord, help me, you know. But we'll keep you safe. I won't allow stupid things to happen to you. You're safe. And the Lord wants to renew again the passion. And that person tonight, I tell you, God's going to really powerfully visit you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is what we're going to do. Those of you in a moment, not yet, who feel the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you just to come up the front. And when you come up the front, when you cross the front row, imagine, maybe even visualize that you're just stepping in to the river of the Holy Spirit. What will happen is some of you, not everyone will come up, but those of you who stay in your congregation part, just stay open because the wave might come for you. Feeling the Holy Spirit, I want you just to come and, as it were, step up the front here as though you're stepping into the river. Come on, you come right now, because we want to build what the Lord's doing here tonight. Holy Ghost, let the power fall. Let the power fall. Father, let there be waves of the Holy Spirit mightily in this place tonight. And as you and if you're in the congregation and you start feeling the Holy Spirit, I want you to come just as you start feeling him. But we're just working with who the Holy Spirit is touching. But Lord, I pray every person here tonight would just receive a great touch of the Spirit. Let there be waves. Waves of the Spirit. Father, go deeper. Go more powerful tonight. Father, go more powerful tonight. Now there's another wave of the Spirit going to come over the congregation right now. Let it come right now. Father, just touching people. Thank you, Lord. I need a catcher with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Man, I feel the power of God up here. You know, one of the things is you don't have to fall over. I want you to know that. I don't look for people to fall over. I just want people to be touched by God and to have a life transformational experience. Father, right now, life transformational experience. Father, take it deeper in to a place of great visitation. Right there. Let her go deeper. Take it deeper. Take it deeper right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, let your glory just flow. Man, I tell you, there's a presence here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, just releasing the power of God in a mighty way. Here's the presence of God for you, dear, right here. Father, go deeper right now. Touch her with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You can feel it's just dissipating a little bit, but you just stay here. It'll come again. Thank you, Lord. The power will come again. Jesus, fill this place right now. The power of God's about to come all over you, dear. Right now. Here it is. Let it flow. Let it flow. All over her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just wait upon you tonight. And we just receive the Holy Spirit in this place right now in a mighty way. Just come here for a moment, dear. Do you mind? Let me just pray for you, because the Lord really wants to touch you tonight in a very special way. Holy Spirit, touch. Here it comes right now. Times of refreshing in the presence of God. I release it all over you. Shikatora Varisha Sanda. Thank you, Jesus. Father, all over her and over this congregation tonight, let there be the real, the genuine, now in the Holy Spirit. Go deeper. Go deeper. Thank you, Lord. Go deeper. You know, I can tell you, the thing that I really sense around you is a woman who's seen and experienced many great things in the Lord. And you sometimes now wonder, was it all wasted? Was it just something that happened, but was there a real purpose? But absolutely. Because actually, you're a person that can testify the goodness of God in the face of deep adversity. Oh, and there were times when I can see the Spirit of God came upon you, and it was like He anesthetized you during times of trouble. And it was only that sustained you. And now the testimony is a testimony of hope in the face of hopelessness and despair. And Lord, I pray, pour out your Spirit upon her. Here it comes. You're the God that comes again and again to her, to fill her up. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your presence right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sir, just feel like the Lord just wants to really touch you right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, touch him right now. I release the power of God all over you. Now, there's a person here tonight, and the Lord speaks to me about people and about situations. And one of the things that happens around your life is that you regularly have these dark shadows that just go past you and you don't like them. The Lord wants to set you free from that. And I'd love to pray for that person. Who is that person? Who is that person? Is that you, dear? Okay. We're going to break the power of the curse of that. Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that familiar spirit. Hold her up. Hold her up. Out. Break its power. Go. Go. Loosen. I command that familiar spirit of terror. Loose. In Jesus' name. Go. Thank you, Lord. Now, if there's another person that has that, I want you to come up the front as well, because I'd love to pray for you. Wonderful Jesus. That person that I spoke about earlier on, about that thing with some leader in a meeting and all that stuff, I'd love to pray for that person and break the curse that came on you at that time. Who is that person? I'd love to pray for you and just ask the Lord, just be careful with her and just ask the Lord to touch you. Who is that person? Last opportunity. So I'd love to pray for you right now. Thank you, Lord. Over here. Right. Thank you, Lord. So you're safe. And I'm going to break the abuse and the illegal behavior against you. Father, I stand against every illegal action by word and deed against her in the spirit. Watch her. Loose in Jesus' name. Break its power. Out. Every demon, go. Go. In Jesus' name. Loose her. Right now. Shifts the covers of sun. Father, loose her right now. Now, once you stand up, I'm just going to come around behind you. I'm just going to put my hands on your back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command spirits of witchcraft and control. Loose off her right now. Go. Go in Jesus. Break the power of the soul. Right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your presence. It just breaks every yoke right now. Shatarabaravasasanda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a person, you're up in the back there, but you frequently actually, when I was talking about the whole suicide thing, but you frequently have this thing of death that just seems to recur in your thinking, and even especially at night, and just thoughts of death and all that sort of stuff. It's actually not natural. God wants to set you free. And I'd love to pray for that person if you'd come up here right now. And there's nothing to be afraid of. The Lord will set you free. Who is that person? Quickly. Quickly. Last opportunity, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. Thank you, Lord. Shusakavos asunder. Thank you, Lord. Hello. What's your name?
Anastasia.
Sorry?
Anastasia.
Anastasia. What an outstanding name. Your parents here?
No.
No? Where are you from?
I'm from here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, lift your hands to the Lord, would you? Thank you, Lord. So, you're familiar with prophecy? When someone speaks to you about what they feel the Lord's saying, you're familiar with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you are. Maybe the Lord might speak to me about you, eh? Thank you, Lord. Because, see, what I see around your life is a big question mark as to what the Lord wants. You're thinking, what does the Lord want me to do? What has he got for me? And it's like you're in this place of almost confusion, because you know the call of God's on your life, you've heard it preached, you've been on altar calls, but it's like it's yet to unfold. But you know, there's a couple of things that I feel around you so strongly. There's that evangelistic thing that that just seems to hang around you, where you are just one of those people that can attract people and can actually share with them about the love of God, and actually they listen to you. And the Lord's given you a real anointing in that area. But actually you're a person with great insight that the Lord shows me. You can really see into the hearts of people. You can see the heartbeat of what's going on, and you particularly pick up when people are deeply distressed. And the Lord wants to use you because there's a whole thing around you of rescue, rescuing people and bringing them into healing. I'm going to ask the Lord to really anoint you in this area. Father, right now, bring a forth, Father, in a mighty way, that many people come to you. Lord, I see it gathering. Now, touch it powerfully with the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for it right now. Let me tell you something. Lots of people have got lots of ideas about what you should do. They would love to utilize you. And so they will tell you things like, oh, this is what the Lord's saying for you to do. And you get confused because one person is and someone else comes along and say, look, oh, you know, I really believe God wants you to join us over here, right? It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. It's not God. Because when it's the right thing, you will know it to be the right thing. And you've got to stop listening to these people because they're not hearing the will of God. All they want is you because they see the gift on your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And is it true? Yeah? True or not?
I can understand.
Okay. Yeah. You'll understand it more as you go. Because you're really called of God, see? Thank you, Lord. Father, touch him. I release the Holy Ghost all over you. Mightily in Jesus' name. Good girl, I like you. I like you, it's really good. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, for this man right now, sir, here's the presence of God for you right now. Father, times of refreshing in the presence of God, touch him right there, Holy Ghost, and fill him with your glory right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I spoke about that person over the, I think it was death a few moments ago, up the back here. If you want to respond, I'll go for that again. Be good. Okay, why don't we all just be seated, eh? Wonderful, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful, Jesus. Leon, why don't you just do whatever you need to do? No, not Leon. Nathan. You know, I was talking to Nathan on the phone today. And I kept calling him Leon. Yeah. Did he tell you?
Three times, yeah.
Three times.
I think we're the same person.
Yeah.
You want me to do what?
Whatever you were going to do.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's take up an offering. Let's just sow generously into Brent's ministry. You know, we have a wholehearted God, and he came to earth to invite us to be wholehearted. And so he says what? We were to love him with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. So I just want to encourage you to give tonight, but give from the very center of your being. Give with that place which says, I'm surrendered, I'm going to be wholehearted, I'm not going to just go halfway. And it's about attitude, right? You know, whether you're giving $2 tonight or $200, it's about your attitude. It's about whether you're taking a step of faith. It's about whether you're giving of yourself or you're just putting the basket as it goes by. So I encourage you to have a wholehearted attitude. You know, being wholehearted is not hard. Did you know that? To be wholehearted is not hard if you know the wholehearted God. And so he's absolutely committed to you. Just have a little look at him. He'll pull wholeheartedness out of you. So make sure you hide your wallet before you do it, because there might not be much left in it afterwards. Okay, have you all got your offering? Let's all got your offering. Let's hold it up to the Lord. Father, tonight as we sow, we're sowing in faith. We're sowing into an anointed ministry. We're honoring Brent as a speaker and as a father in this nation, and we're honoring you. We're honoring your purposes over this nation. We ask, God, that you would move in our community and you'd move in our nation in a way that cannot be blamed on man, that we would have a wholehearted attitude with everything that we do, that we would have a fresh encounter with the wholehearted God over these meetings, that it would pull something out of us so deep we didn't even know it was inside of us. Father, give us attitude from heaven. Amen. Okay, you all ready to sow? That was unanimous. You all ready to sow?
Yes. Amen. Right, so I got more meetings happening at Pastor Nathan?
Yeah, tomorrow morning in Dunedin, 10:30, St. Clair School Hall. Yeah. And then again here tomorrow night, same time. So get on the phone, invite five friends, invite five enemies. There's flyers there. Take them, give them away, invite people. Let's see if we can fill this place and let people know that God is doing something in our community. You know, people will know there's a revival when they hear about Mosgiel, because Mosgiel? Mosgiel? Where's Mosgiel? If God moves in Mosgiel, they'll know that there's hope for every community in New Zealand, right? Just because we're kind of invisible. So let's believe for something really big here. And I've run out of things to say.
Oh, man. You would be the only pastor on the face of this earth that's run out of things to say. Shivers, that's a miracle. Ever I've heard of a miracle. Man, I should come and do more meetings here if you've run out of things to say. Man. Well, I want to just do something which I always find uncomfortable to do, but I have to do it because I would be disobedient to the Lord if I didn't do it, actually. But I felt convicted to write books over all the stuff that I do around New Zealand, around the world. So this is the first of the three. This is three books I've written so far. One is called Increasing the Anointing of God in Our Lives. And this book, of course, is about the fact that the anointing is measurable. Do you know the Bible says in Acts 4:33, there was great power upon the apostles. It means if there can be great power, it means there can be less power. Have you got this book? You've got it now. And that talks about how to increase the anointing, the principles that I learnt, that I applied, that increased the anointing in my life. Second book is the book that really gets me all around the world, which is Moving in the Power of God. I think it's close to blasphemy to be in a prayer meeting and to pray for God to move. I mean, I just think that's a shocking thing to say. Because what sort of mean, awful God do you know that you have to somehow plead for God to move? Well, I don't want to know that God, because the God that I know is moving all the time. He never stopped moving. This book teaches the principles of how to have a move of God anywhere at any time. Three elements to a move of God are... Thank you. She knows. But all sorts of stuff about the five senses and how the five senses, your physical senses, how the Holy Ghost uses that in order to, you know, let you know how to move in the power of God. So that's all the stuff I teach and demonstrate around the world. Have you got that book?
No.
You have now. And this is the last book I've just read. This is a book called Delivered, and it's How to Cast Out Demons. Now, it amazes me that Christians are afraid to cast out demons. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. Number one, they shall cast out demons. Every single Christian should be a caster out of demons. It's the most fun area of ministry, the most exciting area of ministry, and creates the greatest change. Amen. In a person's life. Now you might think, well, what if the demon comes back inside of me? Well, I would say this, if it did, then no problem, because you must have so many demons already inside of you to think such nonsense that one more won't make a difference. No, it's just nonsense. And there's all sorts of stuff here. There's a whole appendix about Freemasonry. There's a couple of things what I've done, plus in the back on demon groupings, which I found very helpful. This is a very practical book. This is a my books are not sort of talking about how you got to do it. You know, you got to move in the power of God. You got to have more anointing. You know, don't you hate preachers that say that you have got to have more anointing? Why have you not got more anointing? You need to have more anointing. I mean, what a stupid thing to preach. We already know that, don't we? So that tells you how to do it. And you know, well, you should cast out demons. Well, how do you cast out demons? It'll tell you how to cast out demons. It's a good book. Now, small book, $10. Two bigger books are $20 each, and there's a special price if you buy more than one, and it's all interrelated. And I've got a lovely lady here. Can you stand up, please, my lady who's doing the selling? Look at her. Look, she's the lady. Have you got this book? No, of course you haven't. You can have that one. I've had people, you know, tell me they've read that book, Moving in the Power of God, and the power of God has just vibrated all around them as they've read the book. So fantastic. Leon or somebody, can you know, the person who's the helper here, can they just get this down a little bit for me, please? And that'll be really good.